Luke 24 and verse number 13. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communication are these that you have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed in word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, while which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. And he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them, and their eyes were opened and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they arose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this wonderful story. What an exciting thing, coming off the resurrection story last week, and now to see you enter into your post-resurrection ministry. Bless us as we study this story. May, Lord, our hearts burn within us this morning as the Bible's preached, even as these two disciples, Lord, the Word of God set their heart ablaze. I pray, Lord, that something would begin to burn in the hearts of our young people and our adults and our senior saints and our children, Lord. May the Word of God cause a stirring this morning. Help us to want to be like you in all things. I pray, Lord, for that one, dear God, that's come in today and they've never been saved. They don't know for sure what would happen if they were to die. Lord, I remember coming to church in that condition. Thank you, dear God, for the conviction that came across my heart. The Word of God caused a burning that day in my soul. Lord, thank you for bringing me to the point where I knew that I needed to be saved. Oh, happy day. Oh, happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. Lord, thank you for that. I pray that that would be the case for someone here today. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. Jesus on the road to Emmaus. Jesus on the road to Emmaus. Let me summarize the post-resurrection ministry, earthly ministry, I should say, post-resurrection earthly ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. On the day of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, he appeared to, first of all, to Mary Magdalene, then to a group of women, then to 10 of the assembled disciples in the upper room. On that resurrection day, Jesus began what we refer to as his post-resurrection earthly ministry. It lasted for 40 days. Think about that. For 40 days, Jesus made appearances on this earth in his glorified body. And it ended, of course, when he gathered 120 of his disciples upon Mount Olivet and gave them his last encouragement and instruction, commissioned them, then bodily ascended into the clouds, then on up to glory. But for 40 days, Jesus had what we call his post-resurrection ministry. During this time, he appeared to both individuals and groups of people. On that resurrection day visit to the upper room, he breathed on the disciples and they received the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. A week later, on that second Sunday appearance, he appeared to the same 10. Notice I said 10 disciples because there was one missing the first time. Now there was present the previously absent doubting Thomas. And Jesus gave him an opportunity to exercise sight instead of faith, encouraging him to use science instead of faith. John chapter 20, we read that encounter. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace be unto you." Then saith he to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing." And Thomas answering said unto him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, yet have believed." How many of you have never seen Jesus Christ? Would you raise your hand? How many of you, even though you've never seen him, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Jesus said, "Blessed are ye. Blessed are ye." Look up right up here. Every once in a while I run into a skeptic. I run into one of these people that's been so infiltrated with the humanistic teachings of this society that they'll say, "If you can't prove it in the lab, you can't prove it in science, I won't believe it." Well, you'll never be saved, sir. You'll never be saved because you cannot be saved without faith. Faith is required for salvation. By the way, if you're a Christian, you'll never please the Lord. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. You see, God doesn't want us to believe in him because we saw him. God wants us to exercise faith and put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ just because he said so in his word. That ought to be good enough for it. Somebody recently, I think it's on one of the church signs here in town, says, "God said it, I believed it, and that settles it." But the honest truth is, folks, God said it, and that settles it, whether you believe it or not. And so, but God would have us to believe. After he appears to Thomas, he appears to his younger brother James, and then to a gathering over 500 believers, and then to Peter and 6 other disciples in John chapter 21. We may preach on that next week. And again, on Ascension Day, to a group, the group there on Mount Olivet, he gives the Great Commission, last instruction, the post-resurrection ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. But perhaps the most interesting of all his glorified body appearances occurs on a road that ran between Jerusalem and a city by the name of Emmaus. Two disciples, two of the believers, these would be two of the larger group of the 120. They took a journey that day that I think forever and ever changed their lives. I would like that to happen in our lives today. One of these men was named Cleopas, and the other's name is withheld from us. Stranger joined them on that journey, a man they knew but did not know on that day. The Bible uses this phrase, "Their eyes were holden that they should not know him." Yet by the end of the journey, their eyes would be open, their faith strengthened, their hearts would be aflame. Hey, let's take that journey this morning. I pray by the end of tonight or this morning's message, our eyes are opened, our faith are strengthened, and our hearts are aflame. This morning, let's join them on that journey. Can we eavesdrop a little on their conversation? And let's pray that what happened in their hearts that day would happen just a little bit in our hearts this morning. What happened, preacher? We read the story, but break it down for us. All right, let me give you some facts. Let me give you some thoughts here this morning. Number one, the two men walked and talked. They communed and discussed, but confusion and doubt and sadness reigned in their hearts. Think about that. They walked and talked. They communed and discussed, but sadness and confusion and doubt reigned in their heart. You know what? They couldn't make sense of what had just happened in Jerusalem. They were followers of Jesus. Their thoughts was that Jesus was going to indeed become the King of the Jews, not in some faraway millennium, but right then and now he was going to ascend the throne. He was going to deliver Israel from Roman rule. They wanted a earthly king, not a heavenly king. But Jesus had come for a much greater purpose. He had come to die on the cross for our sins, to be buried and raised from the dead. He will come one of these days and set up his kingdom, his earthly kingdom. But this was not his purpose here. But they thought maybe that was the case. They were believers. But I think that they believed like this. "Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief." They walked and they talked. And watch this, folks. The Bible uses the word reasoned. And it's not It's not a bad thing to talk about what the Scripture says. It's not a bad thing to try to comprehend mentally and intellectually what the Scripture says. But like I said, folks, you know what? With this human mind, it's a little hard for us to comprehend spiritual things. I think they were trying to rationalize their way to the truth when they needed to just simply step back and open their hearts and believe by faith what was already in the Scriptures there. Sometimes we get together and we want to talk things out. And so many times, folks, I'm afraid we try to use our intellectual powers as we approach the Bible, but the wisdom of man is always in conflict with the wisdom of God. And you know what? Faith is needed. Faith is always needed. Preacher, I don't understand everything that the Bible says. I don't understand it either, but I believe it. But preacher, it don't always make sense. It may not make sense, but I believe it. Well, preacher, sometimes it goes against what I would think intellectually. Well, let me ask you this. You want to put your faith in what you can think and what you can comprehend, or you want to put your faith in the words of Almighty God? You see, folks, I believe that God created the heavens and the earth in 6 literal days by simply speaking things into existence. Now listen, there's not a scientist in the world that wouldn't say, I got a problem with that. But you see, God has a problem with them. What they need to do is just believe what the Bible says. See, Jesus was born by a virgin. You say, preacher, that don't make sense. It may not make sense, but I believe it. Jonah was swallowed by a whale. That don't make sense. Well, it may not make sense, but the Bible says that God prepared a great fish. I suppose God could prepare a fish any way he wanted to prepare that fish. And he prepared that one so that it could swallow a man, and it did swallow a man that day. How do you know? Because the Bible says it. Well, preacher, I'm just not sure that I can intellectually sign off on that. Why don't you, by faith, just choose to believe whatever the Bible says? You know what you ought to do in 2012? If you've never done it before, you ought to just decide. You're going to start at Genesis 1:1. You're going to read all the way to the end of the Bible. And every time you read a verse, you're going to say, amen, I believe it. Every time you read a story, amen, I believe it. And I don't care what your mind tells you. I don't care what other people, the skeptics, the critics, the agnostics, the atheists, I don't care what anybody says. Just read the Bible and believe what it says. Put your faith in a God that's bigger than all of us. But they were reasoning and communing and discussing and rationalizing. And you know what it brought them to? Confusion and doubt and sadness. And that's where so many people are today. You see, the two men lacked two things. These two men, they lacked two things. And Jesus was going to supply them with both of these things. They lacked an understanding of the Scripture. And they lacked a heart that would just believe what the Scripture says. That's it. That's all they lack. Watch it. There's nothing wrong with this world that wouldn't be fixed right there. If people would just get an understanding of the Scriptures and have a heart to believe what they say by faith, it would resolve every conflict, every issue in their life. They lack these things. I'm reminded of the words of Jesus when he said to the Pharisees, you do err not knowing the Scriptures nor the power of God. And you know what? They didn't know the Scriptures and they didn't know the power of God. And so Jesus decides he's going to join them. Now, he had some pretty amazing abilities in his glorified body. By the way, he had some pretty amazing abilities in his fleshly body. But now he's on his glorified body and he approaches them and he withholds from them their eyes the ability to recognize him. He does not want to come to them yet as the Son of God. He just wants to join them as a fellow traveler and he wants to discuss the events of the past few days. He wants to help them grow. He wants to minister to their heart and he wants to change their life forever. So what did Jesus do, preacher? Well, Jesus did 3 important things that day. I think he ministered to their heart in 3 specific ways. Number one, he expounded unto them the Scriptures. He expounded unto them the Scriptures. Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Luke 24:27 in our story, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning him. Now, you think about this. You talk about envy. I'm a little envious right now. Can you imagine getting to walk along beside the Lord Jesus Christ And him taking the scriptures, him taking the Old Testament scriptures and expounding the scripture. Listen, folks, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The living Word was taking the written Word and discussing it with human beings. Oh, I want to be there. I want to be there. Sometimes people say, hey, when we get to heaven, think we'll get to hear Billy Sunday preach. Well, that'd be a neat thing. Or you're going to hear D.L. Moody. Well, that'd be a neat thing. But I kind of like to listen to Jesus. I mean, I just like to say, Jesus, you know what? We thought this, and we thought this, and we thought this, and we did the best we could. But Jesus expounded to us more perfectly the scriptures. When the living Word begins to teach the written Word, that must have been quite an event there. Now, it doesn't break down all that he taught us as far as specifics, but remember what he said. And beginning at Moses, that's the Pentateuch, and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the same, the things concerning himself. So we know that what Jesus did was he went through the Old Testament prophecies and he connected the dots. He said, I'm going to show you everywhere in the Old Testament. You think about this walk, folks. I'm going to show you everywhere in the Old Testament where there was a prophecy concerning the Messiah. And I'm going to show you in my life where that prophecy was fulfilled. Now, folks, I'm not even sure, to be honest with you, I probably have failed in this. I don't even know if I've got a complete list here. But I've got in front of me, having researched and studied this, 61 different specific Old Testament prophecies concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. How about these prophecies concerning his birth? The Old Testament said he would be born of the seed of woman in Genesis chapter 3:15. The Old Testament said he would be born of a virgin in Isaiah 7:14, and he was. It said that he would be the Son of God in Psalm 2:7, and he was. The seed of Abraham in Genesis 22:18, and he was. The son of Isaac in Genesis 12:12, and he was. The son of Jacob in Numbers 24:17, and he was. Out of the tribe of Judah in Genesis 49:10, and he was. His family would be in the line of Jesse in Isaiah 11:1, and he was. Of the house of David in Jeremiah 23:5, and he was. That he would be born at Bethlehem in Micah 5:2, and he was. That he would be presented with gifts from the wise men, Psalm 72:10, Isaiah 60:6, and he was. That Herod would kill the children in an attempt to try to kill the Savior, Jeremiah 31:15. Listen, I think Jesus walked along and showed them all of these scriptures. And by the way, that's just the first 12. He's just getting started. He showed them prophecies concerning his nature, that Micah said that he would be pre-existent deity, and he was. That he would be called Lord in Psalm 110:1, and he was. That he'd be called Emmanuel in Isaiah 7:14, and he was. That he'd be called a prophet in Deuteronomy 18:18, and he was. That he'd be called a priest and a judge and a king, Psalms, Isaiah. That he would have a special anointing of the Holy Spirit, Isaiah 11:2, and that he would have great zeal for the Lord in Psalm 69:6. I think that as he's talking, he's quoting scripture, and he's making the parallels and connection to his life, and he was showing them that Jesus that you saw, he was the Messiah. They don't yet know that he's the one doing the teaching. That's going to come up here. How about it concerning his ministry, that he would be preceded by John the Baptist, Isaiah 40:3, that his ministry was to begin in Galilee, Isaiah 9:1-2, that he would have a ministry of miracles in Isaiah 35:5, that he would be a teacher of parables in Psalm 78:2, that he was to enter into the temple in Malachi 3:1 and cause some havoc there, that he was to enter into Jerusalem on a donkey in Zechariah 9:9, that he would be the stone of stumbling to the Jewish nation, Psalm 118:22, the light to the Gentiles, Isaiah 60:3. How about these prophecies concerning the events after his burial, his resurrection, Psalm 16:10, his ascension, Psalm 66:18, that he would be seated at the right hand of God, Psalm 110:1. How about all of these? I mean, you talk about specifics, folks, that he would be betrayed by one of his friends in Psalm 41:9, that he would be sold for 30 pieces of silver. Are you getting this? I'm talking about 500 years before the event happened. They told the specific number of pieces of silver that he would be sold for. Guess what? Judas got that day. Not 31 pieces of silver. Not 29 pieces of silver. 30 pieces of silver. The Bible says, well, it goes on to prophesy in Zechariah that that money was to be thrown down on the floor of the synagogue. And it was that the money would be collected and it would be used to buy a potter's field. Zechariah 11, verse number 13. And it was, if you think about that one little portion of Scripture there that tells us he would be betrayed. He would be betrayed by a friend. The exact amount of money, 30 pieces of silver, not gold, by the way, silver, that it would be thrown down in the house of the Lord and used to buy a potter's field. And every single one of those prophecies came true in minute detail. How about Zechariah 13:7 that prophesied that he'd be forsaken by his disciples, that he'd be accused by false witnesses, Psalm 35:11, mute before his accusers, Isaiah 53:7, wounded and bruised, Isaiah 53:5. Smitten and spit upon, Isaiah 50 verse number 6, mocked, Psalm 22 verse 7 and 8, that he would carry his cross, Psalm 109:24, that his hands and his feet would be pierced. And that, hey, well, we're on number 44. That was quite a walk. Yeah, see, preacher, did he have a copy of the Old Testament? Something tells me Jesus didn't need one. Something just tells me that when he opened his mouth, the words of God came out. You know why? Because he wasn't only the Son of God, he was God the Son. You getting this? Crucified with thieves, Isaiah 53:12. That he'd made intercession for his persecutors. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, Isaiah 53:12. That he'd be rejected by his own people, Isaiah 53:3. Hated without a cause, Psalm 69:4. Friends that would stand afar off, Psalm 28:11. People would shake their heads. That was prophesied, that they would wag their heads and mock him at the base of the cross, Psalm 109:25. That he would be stared upon, Psalm 22, number 17. And I think about how the Bible says, and they sat down and watched him there. How about the garments that were parted and the lots that were cast for his clothes and his coat in Psalm 22:18? That he would suffer thirst, Psalm 69:21. That gall and vinegar would be offered to him, Psalm 69. His forsaken cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Word for word, accurate, Psalm 22, verse number 11. And he'd commit himself to God in Psalm 31:5. Not one bone would be broken, Psalm 34:20. His heart would be broken, Psalm 22:17. Think about that. Blood and water came out from Jesus as they pierced his side, the evidence of a heart that literally had burst asunder. His side was pierced, Zechariah 12:10. Darkness over the land, Amos 8:6. He'd be buried in a rich man. So what are you saying, preacher? We could go on. I'm telling you this. That must have been some kind of walk. And Jesus comes to them and they're reasoning. He says, stop reasoning. They're intellectualizing. He says, stop it. Let's just read the Bible. Let's let the Bible speak. Let's let the Bible bring forth proof of who I am. Listen, stop wondering. Stop being confused. Stop being sad. There's no reason to doubt. The Bible says exactly when he would come and why he would come and how he would be born and how he would live and how he would die and that he would rise again the third day. There's no reason for any Bible believer, even with just the Old Testament back then, to be confused. God had given them everything they needed to know. But they did err not knowing the Scriptures. I wonder how many people, I'm talking about beliefs, I'm talking about Christians. We err in our lives just because of an ignorance of this book right here. I'm going to challenge you again, church. Well, you're going to hear it plenty this month. I'm just going to keep talking about, hey, listen, man, I'm not saying a lot of people aren't here. I'm not saying a lot of you don't have a precious and sweet and real relationship with the Bible. But if you don't, isn't it about time? Some of you, somebody comes to you and they say a few things and it confuses you. You're blown around with every wind of doctrine. You know why? Because you aren't grounded in the Bible. You can't get grounded in the book if you're not faithful to church. I'm glad you're here at 10:30, but 9:30 is a good time to come to Sunday school. Settle the teaching of the Bible. Sunday night's a good time to get back into the Word of God. Wednesday's a good time to study the Bible. Get your kids in Master's Club so they can be discipled in this book right here. The more you get into the Scriptures, and the more you ascend into the preaching and teaching of the Bible, the more that you develop a personal walk with God, read the Bible on a daily basis. Listen, these disciples were wandering aimlessly, confused and lost and dazed and sad. And that sadly is a description of the whole majority. I'm afraid it's the majority of the Church of Jesus Christ. And it really boils down to the fact that we do not get in this book and have our faith built day by day. So Jesus comes along and says, hey, I can fix what's wrong with you. Let me talk to you about the Scriptures. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And the more they heard the Word of God, the more their faith was built. But he didn't just do that. He broke bread with them. I'm just going to say this, folks, and I'll tell you more about it. We've got some neat things planned for 2012. I mean, at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Listen, if you were going to get mad and go to another church, I'd wait a year. All right? I just wait 1 year, okay, because we're going to have a good time, and then we'll say goodbye at the end of 2012. But I mean it. You know something, folks? I was sitting at the Christmas banquet last night, and I was just watching everybody. And one of the men came up to me and said, are we going to do all the testimonies before we eat or after we eat? I said, you want to have a riot? Are you kidding me? These are Baptist people. They will riot. You do not want to stand between them and that food table over there. And people went over, and the ladies did such a great job. And one of the things that you'll notice, you go ahead and study it out, Acts chapter 2. After the great day of Pentecost, when the Church of Jesus Christ was being freshly formed. I know that the Bible talks about the communion and taking communion, but that's not what it's talking about at the end of that chapter. They broke bread together. And you know what? A lot of times the family just don't come together enough. We spent all that money and built that fellowship hall, and folks, listen to me. How many of you like to eat? Say amen. All right. We just voted it through. We're going to do a lot of it this year, all right? There's something special about it. I'm watching everybody as they got their food and talk, and I leaned over and I said this to, I think it was my father-in-law. I said, look at the church. They're enjoying themselves. Look at them. I said, they're happy because they're eating. They're happy because they're fellowshipping. They're happy because the body's together. There's something sweet about that. There's something sweet about coming together. You know what Jesus did? He took a time of intimacy with them. He wanted them to want him. Are you listening to me, church? You know, one of the things you'll see about Jesus is he hardly ever, I don't know if he ever did, force himself on anybody. You know, when he went out and walked on the water that time, you say, well, he marched out there to save them. If you study that out, the Bible says he went as he were to pass by them. Then they called and then he came. Could I say this? I want you to get this. You know what? Blessed Hope Baptist Church, listen to me. Jesus wants to be wanted by us. He wants to be wanted by us. And you know what? When he walked with those two, they said, we're going to stop here at this inn. We're going to spend the night. We're going to get a meal here. And he said, well, it's been nice meeting you. And he kind of just, you know when you kind of want to be invited, but you don't want to invite yourself kind of thing. He kind of maybe walked a little slow. And one of them said, wait, where are you going? Where are you going? Stay and eat with us. Well, you know what? They wanted to hear more. You know why? Because something, we're going to get to it in a second, but something was going on in their heart. They didn't want this to end. You get in right fellowship with Jesus. You get right fellowship with the Scriptures. You get right fellowship with each other. You know what? This is a place that you want to come, not a place you have to come. You don't say, oh, they're going to have this week. You say, hey, man, I can't wait. I can't wait. We're going to do this week at Blessed Hope Baptist. They broke bread. They had fellowship together. Jesus wants to have fellowship with us. He wants to spend that intimate time with us, but he wants us to want him. You got the picture in the book of the Revelation in the old poem. I don't have it with me. The Bible says he's knocking at the door. You don't think Jesus didn't have the power to speak and that door burst asunder? You don't think the power of God didn't have with one word the ability to open? You know what? He could open the door, but he sits there and he knocks on the door. You know why? Because he wants somebody to want him. He wants you, teenage girl, he wants you to want to get up and read your Bible. I didn't say you be made to. He wants you to want to set your alarm a little early, get up and read your Bible and get on your knees beside your bed and spend some time in communion. Young man, he wants you to want him. He wants you to spend time. He's not going to come and force you. He's not going to come down from heaven, put a gun to your head. He says, I'm here. Have you ever noticed this? Let me just help you make this observation with me. The least important things in life clamor for our attention. And the most important things in life will hardly speak a word. The least important things in our life always clamor for attention. But the least important, the most important things in our life, you know what? They just kind of stand there, quietly available. And we have to want them. We have to want them. And so he broke bread with them. Not only that, he allowed them to see him finally for who he truly was. I love verse number 31, and their eyes were open and they knew him and he vanished out of their sight. And you know what? The whole time Jesus wanted to reveal himself to them in a way they'd never seen him before. But you know what? He wanted them to want to listen, and then he wanted them to want to spend time with him. And when they finally passed the test, he allowed them to see him for who he truly was. I would pray that in 2012, Blessed Hope Baptist Church would get a vision of the Lord Jesus Christ like we've never had a vision before. That we'd know him in a way we've never known him before. That there would be a level of intimacy in our relationship with Christ that we've never visited before. Oh, that we would walk the road to Emmaus with him. That our hearts would burn. That we'd listen to what he has to say. That we'd want to be with him until our eyes are open. Now, these men were changed forever. Preacher, what did this encounter do for them? Well, it left them with a burning heart. And they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us, by the way, while he opened to us the scripture? If you've had it happen, you know what I'm talking about. The word of God was taught and the presence of Christ was there and the heart began to burn. In 2011, literally, folks, scores of times, as the word of God was preached from this pulpit and the Spirit of God was active, the presence of Christ was here. We've watched people come in, lost, unsaved, but during the course of a sermon, their hearts began to burn within them. And maybe they didn't even know what was going on. But by the end of the message, they knew that they needed God. They knew that they needed Christ. They knew that they needed to be saved. And over and over and over, we've been able to lay witness to watch people walk the aisle of this church and receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. Many of those people are sitting in this room with us this morning that walked down this aisle this year and received Christ as their Savior. If you're here today, visitor, I don't know who you are and I don't know what your condition is, but if you've never been saved, let me say this. That was true of all of us at one time. There's not a person in this room that was born saved. We were all born lost. Many of us, like I give testimony to from time to time, many of us at some point in our life walked into a church lost. I remember going to church and not knowing a thing about it and listening to the preacher and man alive, thank God for an old-fashioned preacher that preached on hell, preached on heaven, preached on Jesus, preached on the crucifixion, made the gospel plain and simple, preached on sin so that I could fall under conviction of sin. Thank God that he preached on sin. Finally, I came to that point where I was under conviction of sin and being drawn by the Father. And you know what? I understood the gospel and I rushed forward to be saved. I wanted to be saved. Oh, happy day that fixed my choice on Thee, my Savior and my God. If you're here this morning, you know what? During the preaching of the message, your hearts begin to burn. Preacher, you know what? If I died right now, I don't know what would happen to me. I don't know what would happen. I fear what might happen. I don't know where I'd go. Not 100% sure. You know what? We have people trained in the scriptures. During the invitation, if you'll come, we can get someone to take the Bible and just like Jesus did, expound unto you from the scriptures the simple plan of salvation. Look up here, Christians. Wait a minute. We're not just preaching to lost people. Have you gotten to the point in your Christian life where the word of God can be preached and you can't remember the last time your heart burned within you? Are you surrounded, Christian young people, with scriptures Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Sunday all day, and yet you cannot give witness to the last time that your heart burned within you? Let me ask you an honest question. You give the answer. Is there something wrong with this book? Is it that the Word of God has lost its power? Or have we just grown cold and uncaring? Have we shook off the Holy Spirit so many times that we've quenched him in our lives? And the things that used to happen when the Bible was preached just doesn't happen. It hasn't happened for a long time. Come on. Come on. I'm not preaching down to you. I'm preaching across to you. There's not a one of us that can't look back at little windows of our lives in our Christian life and say, you know what? For a little period of time there, I was so cold and I was so hard and I was so far from God. Maybe nobody knew it. Maybe I was sitting right in the pew and there every time the doors was open. But the honest truth is, I was so far from God. Would to God we have some Christians find their way to an altar this morning and say, you know what? We want lost people to let the Word of God burn in their heart. Oh God, let it burn in my heart. Let it burn within me. Jesus changed their life that day forever. The encounter with Christ left him with a burning heart. It left him with a believing heart. I love it when they walk into the other disciples. Notice in verse 33 and 34 what they say. And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them. Notice this, saying, the Lord is risen indeed. But here they were in doubt and confusion and sadness and trying to rationalize and make sense of it and use their human minds. And Jesus comes with the scriptures and opens their heart and the scales fall off their eyes. And all of a sudden their faith is restored. They're strong again. The Lord, indeed, He has risen. He's risen indeed. Boy, every once in a while we need those revival meetings with Christ where God just takes those flames and bursts it fresh in our heart with reborn faith, and we get back to where we used to be with the Lord. What a precious thing. Not only did this encounter leave them with a burning heart and a believing heart, it left them with an obedient heart. And they told what things were done in the way and how He was known of them in the breaking of bread. And you know what? I don't think you could shut these two guys up after that. Where's those gospel tracts, preacher? You say something about talking about Jesus and just say, where's those tracks at? I'll take some. When you have soul winning, preacher, I'll be there. If somebody says I'm about a bus minister, I can help with that. Let's talk about Jesus, the King of Kings is He, the Lord of Lords, supreme throughout eternity, the great I Am, the way, the truth, the light, the door. Let's talk about Jesus more and more. What I find is this, a burning heart leads to a believing heart, and a believing heart leads to an obedient heart. Something begins to happen inside. I said this to our young adult class this morning, but folks, Christianity was designed to work from the inside out. From the inside out. You get things straightened out in here, the overflow of that will affect every area of your life. I love this. I love this. I want to show you a verse I did not read, and then I'll be done. Notice what we read in verse 34 and 35, and I stopped reading this morning verse 35. I wanted to save verse 36. Let's read verse 34. Saying, the Lord is risen indeed, hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how He was known of them in breaking of bread. Now notice this. Don't miss this. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. There's nothing in the Bible by accident. Notice the first phrase, verse 36. And as they thus spake, Jesus Himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. You show me some Christians that get a burning heart and a believing heart and an obedient heart. And guess what? The same Jesus that appeared to them begins to appear with them and begins to appear in front of others in their presence. And all of a sudden, somebody else gets to have that encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. The post resurrection ministry, earthly ministry of our Lord. Heavenly Father, thank You for what we've learned. We've tried to cover a lot fast. But Lord, I pray, dear God, we didn't rush by an opportunity for the Holy Spirit to work. Lord, there's a certain amount of things that You've called me to do, and then there's that supernatural work of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray, dear God, for those that may be here without Christ. May their hearts burn within them now. As my heart burnt as I sat in the pews of the Rock Run Baptist Church in Diamond, Indiana, God, and I heard the Bible preached and salvation made plain, and Your Holy Spirit burned my heart with conviction over my lost state. Dear God, I pray if there's someone here unsaved that their heart would burn within them. I pray for that Christian who maybe has drifted off a little bit. Maybe they've gotten a little cold. Maybe they say, preacher, I'm not going to lie. I'm going to be honest with God. Yeah, it's been a long time since my heart burned within me. But God's done something this morning in my life. Maybe it's just a spark. Maybe it's a small flame. But I want to fan that through obedience. I want to fan that through faith. I pray for my brothers and sisters, dear God, that You'd warm their hearts this morning. Lord, do a work of grace in our midst. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Nobody's looking around. I would like to ask you if you know for sure that you're saved. I'm not going to embarrass you. I promise that. We don't do it here. We just don't do it. I won't call your name. I won't come get you. Nobody else will. But I sure, as a preacher of the Word of God, I want to pray for you. Preacher, as you were preaching, the honest truth is this matter of eternity. When you ask the question, if you died today, do you know for sure what would happen? I don't know what happened. I would fear what would happen. I look at the timeline of my life from where I am now back to the day I was born, and I can't find a place that gives me peace, a time or a place where I came under Holy Spirit conviction and by faith put my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection. Maybe you've just never had the opportunity. Maybe you have, and you've walked away from it in times past. But God, in his great mercy and grace, is coming to you one more time this morning. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Preacher, if I was to die right now, I don't know for sure that I'd go to heaven. Preacher, I feel like I need to be saved. And again, I won't embarrass you. I promise. I just want to pray for you. I won't call your name, but I want to pray for you. Preacher, I'm not saved. Would you raise your hand so I could pray for you? I'm not saved, preacher, but God is working in my heart right now. I'm not saved, but God is working in my heart right now. Could you slip your hand up? Let me pray for you real quickly. Anybody? Anybody across the auditorium? I'm not saved, but God is working in my heart right now. How many Christians would say, preacher, I need to have one of those Emmaus Road experiences. I need to find Jesus afresh and anew. I'm not talking about being saved again, folks. We know that if you've been saved, you're still saved. But sometimes, these weren't lost men. These were disciples. And yet they were confused, and they were sad, and they were broken, and they were beaten down. They weren't on the winning side like the choir sang. And yet Jesus came and changed everything. Preacher, I needed to hear that this morning. I'll tell you that with uplifted hand. I just needed to hear that this morning. Would you give testimony to that? God's done a work of grace. I needed to hear that this morning. God, I pray that you'd do something sweet in our hearts, Lord, during the invitation. Bless, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name.